Hello, babedom. You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by the demon twink that if you make him a side chick, then it will be arrivederci, baby, David Lim. And myself, not a day pass me by that I don't think about the sugar babes. Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Good, Jolie B. I'm so excited. We are finally here. I bet a lot of people at this point pressing play would be like, it's about time.
Yeah. They'd be like, was it ever coming? You know, what's this all about? Honestly. If there was a manager, they would like to speak to them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We would have had some written complaints already.
Now, look, David, there's a reason why we've saved this for so long, haven't we, David? This is our 50th episode of Right Back At Ya. So cheers to you, gorgeous.
Cheers to you, you and your Gary Barlow wine.
I'm sipping on the Gary Barlow organic red wine tonight. Do you know what, Gary? Good on you. It's tasty.
Yeah. So having had the Kylie Red, I know this is not what the podcast is about. We're not here to review wines, but which is better, Gary versus Kylie Red?
Oh, I haven't had the Kylie Red
since Hanif. I was going to say, we've definitely had it, but you may not remember.
Since our unofficial wine launch.
Oh my God, that night still like terrorizes me when we went through so many bottles of Kylie wine.
Yes.
That is definitely, you know when they say on the label, enjoy responsibly? That's why they need to tell you that. Because foolery exactly. Like this happens.
Yes, we were imbeciles. I would say I really like the Gary so far. A few sips in, it's a very easy red. It's organic, so I like that. Hopefully I won't have a headache tomorrow. I think Kylie shines best with her signature rosé, her rosé Prosecco and her Carver. I'm yet to try the £20 Kylie Red, which I'd really like.
Oh my
like.
God, there is a premium one of that.
Yes,
wow.
Premium.
And if you order online with promo code RightBackAtYaKylieWines, then you can get 2.5% off.
Yes, you can get a whole 0% off and 0% will go to us.
So Jolie B, yes, episode 50, where has the time gone? And you know what? The last Sugar Babes episode we did, which was part two, was released on the 4th of January. We've let 15 incredible episodes go ahead, but now it just feels like let's jump into it. This is what you guys
let's
want.
Let's get back to the babedom. And guys, you have made the Sugar Babes part one and two our most popular episodes to date. So we have high hopes that you are going to do this.
Do not
today.
Let this be our flop era. Don't let this flop.
So, David, before we get into the Sugar Babes and the babedom, please can you read us a lovely 5-star review?
Absolutely. And as we always say, thank you guys so much for the support. And leaving things like a review on Apple really helps with the podcast visibility. So, yeah, please do that for us if you can. This one's a really recent one. It was only left this week when we're recording. It's called A Damn Delight. And that was left by L-I-H, so thank you, L-I-H.
Maybe it stands for Lee from Steps is in love with Joel Babington.
The way you force that kind of silent H into your name. We love to see it. I've been on a non-stop super binge since I discovered this podcast. I'm always hunting for thoughtful pop culture commentary, and Joel and David have blended research, opinion, anecdote, humor, and charm to perfection here. Well-polished production too.
Oh.
Criminally underrated. Oh.
Oh, thank you, baby.
It kind of sounds like what we would say if we're like talking about an underrated album by one of our faves, you know, really good production, criminally underrated.
Yeah, happy to and honored.
Very
to have
honored.
That labeled as our brand. Absolutely love that. Thank you so much. So guys, if you do like what we're doing, please do leave a lovely 5-star review, tell your friends, and give us a follow at Right Back Pod on all social platforms.
So guys, we are of course celebrating the Sugar Babes once again. You know what? This is a really good time to re-enter the babedom. They just had a glorious 20th anniversary celebration of One Touch, their debut album. So good to see Mutya, Keisha and Siobhan back together. That lovely Sunday Times style cover story.
So happy those glorious vocalists are together and celebrating their legacy. Fingers crossed we have a tour and new music soon. But here at Right by Catchy David, we celebrate all 6 of these members, yep. Don't we? I know everyone has their favourites, and that's great. We all have our favourites, but we are here to spread the good word on every single
We're here
member.
To put respect on everyone's names, and more importantly, the discography, because it is so iconic. So what we're talking about today, we're covering Change and Catfights and Spotlights, the 5th and 6th Sugar Babes album. And you know what? Change is like their most commercially successful era. So we cannot, you know, whatever is going on now with the kind of current celebration, that's fantastic. But this is fantastic too. So,
and listeners, I know what you're thinking, but don't worry. We are going to get sexy, but we are going to give that album and era its own episode to give it the justice it deserves.
Yeah, so Sweet 7 is coming. Promise you. We couldn't leave that off because I love that album too. So, but yeah, today we want to give all our time and energy to celebrating these two album eras. In case you need reminding, Sugar Babes, they are one of the most iconic noughties pop groups, scoring 6 UK number one singles and 18 UK top tens. They've released 7 studio albums, a greatest hits, amounting to 6 UK top 10 albums. They have sold over 12 million records worldwide and won a Brit Award. And recently, results came out that showed Sugar Babes were ranked 12th, the 12th most played female artist of this century. And the only group that was played more was Little Mix.
Wow.
Listen, on that list, they're only Sugar Babes were the 3rd most played UK female artist of this century. So yeah, Adele, Little Mix, Sugar Babes, boom. Represent.
Wouldn't you love to see like the 3 members of Little Mix and the 3 members of Sugar Babes do a collab?
You know, Leanne just had her 30th birthday and Keisha was there, and obviously Keisha Icons. Was on Leanne's documentary, so I feel like if there was something to happen, that conversation would have happened between the two of them. Oh, can you imagine if there was like a Brits kind of tribute to Sugar Babes and LM3 comes out and does like a little medley?
Oh my God.
Scream. Would love that.
We left you off in our last episode. The girls were on their Overloaded the Greatest Hits tour. We're going to kick things off with March 2007. Two of the biggest girl groups of all time. Two of the Right Back At You legends. Walk This Way with Girls Aloud, a Comic Relief charity single. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way. Walk this way, you wanna talk this way.
You know, this is one of those concepts that I think as fans, we talk about like dream collabs all the time, but something this big to happen, I still think to this day, I couldn't believe this happened. And you know, apparently they're friends.
And we've seen them on Girls Aloud Off the Record popping up, you know, behind CD UK.
The iconic scene where Cheryl meets.
Are you the man?
I just asked the new Sugar Babe sister if she was the man.
I just knew she was older. And then Kimberly going, than her, yeah.
That dressing room door slowly shuts. Is that Homer Simpson gif where he retreats into the shrub?
So anyway, yes, it was huge, but it also felt natural. You know, there was, yeah, like the press probably liked to, but it didn't feel like there was a rivalry behind this band. It felt like an organic, great thing to do for charity. Now, David, what a time. These two amazing girl bands. Watching it back gives me, we don't really say nostalgia on this podcast. We just celebrate it as if it's now, but it gives me all the nostalgia and all the feels. You know, I really would rather we kind of skimmed across this if we can, because we're just going to say we love Sarah so much. Yeah. And it's still a bit hard for us to talk about it. But This, David, it was the first Girls Aloud single to not be done by Xenomania. But imagine if they had actually given us, sod the cover, given us a...
an original.
Fuck off Xenomania banger with these two epic bands. You know, that could have been incredible.
I mean, I have a suggestion for that. There is a song on Annie's album called My Love Is Better, which was actually originally meant to feature Girls Aloud, but apparently, yeah, someone at the label or someone in Team Girls Aloud didn't like their vocals on it, so it had to be taken out. So that song would have been a perfect Girls Aloud versus Sugar Babes original track, My Love Is Better. It's kind of like that kind of friendly rivalry thing. I would love to see it. All these amazing vocalists on that track, and it would be so much fun, and you can imagine the music video. So yeah, putting it out there in the alternate universe.
Yes, and even though it wasn't done by Xenomania, David, Brian Higgins was still there on keyboards.
Had to get involved somehow. Now, I must say, I had the great delight of being silently in the background of a Zoom interview recently with Brian Higgins.
Wow.
So, yeah, I look after Swedish pop star Darren, and he hosted an episode of BBC Music Life. And Brian was one of the guests on the episode. So I was just like, couldn't believe it. I was just like, all these years as big Xenomania fans that we are. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Legendary. So yeah, would have loved to have an original, but this is a pretty cool choice for a cover.
And it's just a bit of fun for charity. You know, it's a Dallas Austin produced track. It's got a fantastic music video that is really a take on the original, and the girls didn't all film it on the same day, David.
No, not even like within Team Girls Aloud. Like, I think there were just certain combination of members that were there, but you wouldn't know it from that amazing green screen work where they're all standing together.
No, they did an absolutely fantastic job. We also have some British comedy cameos in there, as it's for comic relief. We have Davina McCall, the legendary Ruby Wax, and Hun Queen Natalie Cassidy also makes an appearance in there. And Graham Norton.
Oh, yes, yes. The honeyest of Hun Queens.
I've got a bottle of Graham's in the fridge as well. Oh, actually. Yes. I haven't had it yet.
That's another celeb wine we need to plug and use our promo code for.
So, hugely successful single, David. It was a number one for both girl bands, obviously. So it was number one here in the UK, number one in Scotland, 14 in Ireland, and 8 on the European Hot 100 singles.
Now, imagine in an alternate universe if they had done a joint tour together. If their diaries aligned.
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't even care if that goes on for 5 hours. I would just not pee.
I'd want it to go on for 5 hours, you know? So then after that, David, the girls go on to work on and record their next album during 2007. But they stay in the limelight. They don't disappear. They have the ultimate pop star rite of passage in May 2007 by releasing 3 limited edition Barbie dolls styled by each member. Iconic.
And recently on Instagram, Keisha said that she lost her Barbie. got lost in a move somehow, I guess. But yeah, anyone on eBay, you want to sell it back to Keisha, that would be a kind thing to do.
Anyone with a spare one, get it back to Keisha. So David, shall we fast forward to September 2007, where this episode well and truly kicks off and things are going to get very interesting.
Yeah, so here we have live at the Indigo O2. The Sugar Babes did a special gig taping for Channel 5. It was a 13-set gig, and they did, I think, 2 or 3 new songs from the forthcoming album, Change. And this is, I guess, the first kind of live TV performance that we see of About You Now. They're huge signature hit that we're about to get into.
And it's now we're kicking off the first era of a full new album of original work with Amel. And it is so fantastic and wonderful to see her truly comfortable and a shining star as a member of this band. Now, David, let me tell you, I was at this Indigo O2 gig in 2007.
Wow.
It was really wonderful, but also kind of bittersweet to look back and watch in a way. You know, it just instantly took me back to being 16, which, to be honest, was a bit of a tough time for me. And it was peak of those, you know, tough, awkward teenage years that so many of us go through. But what was so incredibly wonderful, David, is that it really reminded me how incredible and important this music was to me and to us and to so many of our listeners. We now, luckily, are hopefully all in better places in our lives where we just have the pure joy. But it took me right back to how much I desperately needed that music and how it was just the pop escape. It was, you know, living my best life, and you wouldn't tell, but I just knew what was going on behind the scenes in that young boy, and I just wanted to give him a hug. And also it just reminded me why it's, you know, the pure joy and so amazing that we get to celebrate this pop music.
I mean, we still behave like that 16-year-old Joel at a pop concert every time we're at a show or like a festival.
Absolutely.
Or something. It's just the euphoria of just experiencing live music, especially pop music. It's just like, oh, we go off.
But it was David, let me tell you, it was an incredible gig. It was filmed for television. It was a free event, so it must have been competitions or, you know, young pop fans in the know. I'm sure a lot of pop justice bloggers, etc., were there. The O2 was so new at the time. I think it was actually my first time ever going.
Mm.
Dragged Kylie along. She was being too cool for school. She didn't want to go, but we ended up having a great, great time. And it was just so exciting. I remember queuing up, waiting, and thinking it was so exciting that the person on production or whatever just had my name on the list.
Oh,
you know?
My God, that's the first guest list experience?
Yeah, literally just had to read out the code or something I had. I didn't even tell them my name. They crossed it off and went, oh, thanks, Joel. And like 16-year-old me was like, oh my God,
VIP. Now, I watched this footage. You send it to me. So, it's broken up into two parts on YouTube, so you guys can watch it there as well. But you know what really struck me was that this is such a cute and tight unit. Keisha, Amel, Heidi, do you think part of the secret to Sugar Babes 3.0 is that they had lots of live touring and shows?
100%. You know, I've said before in this podcast, during these teenage years, a huge pop music lover, we're on the other side of the 2000s now. There isn't the access to it that we had before, but also I was a kid. So, you know, it's the first time where I'm actually being able to really go to gigs.
Go to live shows, yeah.
And the Sugar Babes are the only pop band that I'm obsessed with that are consistently doing gigs. Girls Aloud, you know, it would be a tour every album, but it felt like there was always an opportunity to see the Sugar Babes more frequently. And I was so thankful for that. It was still so exciting every time.
I think Amel coming in, even though she didn't have like an album yet with her full input, she came here at the end of Taller in More Ways and then straight into the greatest hits. It just gave her more opportunities to tour and perform. And I think that kind of got the fans on board with her, right? Because they got to see her in person.
While she's getting into the swing of it, the fans straight away are seeing her and falling in love with her, like I did. I have so much love and affection for 3.0 because I got to see them live so many times. They were that was the first lineup of the Sugar Babes I got to see live.
For sure. So yeah, we can't underestimate the significance of how this particular juncture in Sugar Babe's career really helped grow Amel into this iconic lineup that she's part of. So yeah, you know what? There were some great highlights here. I love seeing Overload, and Keisha was doing Siobhan's first verse.
When Overload was released, Keisha really had the least singing on that track. And now, rightfully so, she was the only member of that lineup. She's front and center lead vocalist. So it's really nice to see her progression as a vocalist as well.
Yeah, and her being able to own those songs. That's how you do it, right?
And I think it's fair that it doesn't just evenly be distributed the way it was. She's there. It was her experience. She even gives you a speaking intro into it of her being a teenager at the time. And it's just like, yes, we loved it. And her vocals are phenomenal. So this was a very exciting era. They premiere, as we were saying, three new songs from the album, including their brand new single, the first of the Change album, also released this month in September 2007, David, About You Now. Can we bring yesterday back around? 'Cause I know.
Yes, this is a huge banger. That crunchy electro pop rock combination is just like done to absolute perfection here. It's written by Kathy Dennis, legendary Kathy Dennis,
who
we all know
Kathy.
From Sweet Dreams, My LAX, and Can't Get You Out of My Head, and produced by Dr. Luke, who was really known for doing this kind of like rockier pop sound, as per the Kelly Clarkson hits. So I remember the first time I heard this in Australia, I was just like, I did think, wow, they're really trying to cross over to America with this one.
Right. Saying what? We're Kelly times three.
It does have a very American top 40 facing sound, put it that way. But I also didn't feel like it was a complete sellout. You know what I mean? It kind of felt like the Sugar Babes, but also, yeah, they were just doing something exciting and different.
It was like the modern continuation from what we'd seen when Heidi first joined and the singles they were putting out then, you know?
Yeah.
Just like what the 2007 answer is to that.
Now, I actually think About You Now is a real perfect melting pot of a lot of the qualities we loved in previous Sugar Babes signature hits. Like, it's got the ballsiness of Hole in the Head, check. It's got the grit and the kind of the grit in the production of Round Round, check. And then the melody has a little bit of the tartness of Push the Button, check. Like, it check. Just kind of just works. It just feels very signature Sugar Babes immediately. As we said before, you know, this is now a new era of original material with Amel's input. Right up there, verse one, opening line, she gets that first verse. And that raspy voice, that kind of rock goddess vibe, it just
she
really goes.
It.
Yeah, it really goes with the song.
And the press lapped it up at the time, didn't they, David? Peter Robinson of Pop Justice said it was the best Sugar Babe single since 2002's Round Round. Do you not think it's a little bit forgotten by the Babedom, or maybe not the Babedom, but the culture of the world outside of the Babedom?
No, I think the Hets know this and love this.
Ah, well then do you think it's the forgotten one within the Babedom?
I think it's because us in the Babedom, right, we want to focus on the underrated tracks. So there's no point hyping up About You Now because the rest of the world is. We're going to talk about track 9 on Catfights and Spotlights, you know?
Like, yeah.
That's what we do.
Guys, I'd love to hear your thoughts if you think it's still up there for you, if you think it's aged well, or if you think it's a forgotten gem, or yeah, a standout.
I mean, I actually don't play About You Now very, very much, but in research for this episode, I was like, the freshness I felt the first time I heard it, I'm still hearing it now in 2021. I still get that feeling.
I think About You Now was very of the time and we loved it then. I don't know if it's aged that well, but watching the live clips, like being back at that Indigo O2 show, it needs, with that live element, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, this is an absolute banger.
And it works so well live with a live band.
Absolutely. And it gave it that excitement back. Now, this song was everywhere, David. It's most, well, not most notably, but it's very notably known for being part of a McDonald's toy.
No, what? Like
so
a Happy Meal
time,
toy.
A Happy Meal toy. So at the time, McDonald's was doing a thing and you were getting this like fake MP3 player and each one
oh,
had its
yes,
own song.
Yes, yes, yes. Look, I think this was the time I was working at McDonald's. So yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Here we go. Do you still have any Happy Meals toys saved at home
Listen,
in Australia?
My 23-year-old brother wouldn't like me saying this, but I think he's kept a box full of his Happy Meal toys.
Oh, so he should. I bet some of them are worth money now, you know.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe in there is this like MP3 player thing with the Sugar Babe song on it.
Don't worry, Sean, none of your friends are listening. But yeah, so even in the YouTube comments, it's so wonderful. People were like, this was my favourite song when I was 10. I loved this song. I had the McDonald's toy. I kept on playing it. Huge song, also featured on the Wild Child film soundtrack and covered by Miranda Cosgrove of iCarly and Kim Wilde, which is wild.
Very wild. Tom Aspel collaborator Kim Wilde. Now, look, sadly, we'll get to chart position shortly, but sadly, this song didn't crack America, even though it sounded quite America-facing. It's wild that any Americans listening, tell us if we're right or wrong, but About You Now is synonymous with Miranda Cosgrove, where you are, right?
Miranda did what she had to do, but it is not the one for the Right Back At Your Boys. Not to speak on your behalf, David.
No, but I'm with you there. That's fine. You can speak on my behalf on that because, you know, we're Team Sugar Babes version, definitely. Now, can we talk about this music video, which was shot around Waterloo here in London?
Yes, the Royal Festival Hall on the London South Bank, David.
I don't know why in my memory I thought it was LA.
You thought that was LA?
You're hollering now, but imagine me in bed watching it back today going, why did I think back then it was LA? Like, it's so grey and overcast. It couldn't be anywhere but London.
Yeah. Now, David, what do you think of this music video?
I love a sexy in a city music video. You know, I'm loving corporate vibes. Give me those concrete slabs and like pencil skirts and blouses. Like, in my mind, you know how you've got the Marvel universe? I've got a pop universe where there's Sugar Babes Push the Button music video, you know, them in the elevator. And then there's the Saturday's Notorious as well office. And then there's this video.
Ugh, if only the work was that fun. I also wonder, like, do you think they're just random? For the girls' shots, are they just some random corridors at the Royal Festival Hall that we can go to and recreate? Like, nothing is better than a male leaning over that stair banister, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm just like, did you have to get permit for this?
You just imagine some stuffy person working there, you know, this classic art centre. We have in here the Sugar Babes, but it's spelt incorrectly. It's no art. Ooh. You know, I mean, I'm sure no one's interested in that, but we'll just let them do what they do and, you know, don't get involved.
Listen, girls, I know this is terribly important to you, but you must keep the noise levels down. We do have reputable businesses operating in these premises.
We have the opera in tonight, darlings, you know. Nothing that would interest you. That's part of the music video. And there's this other storyline of the boy and girl getting around London with their sponsored Nokia, I think it's Nokia mobile phones.
Isn't it wild that at this time we're not even in an iPhone era yet? Like, it's still Nokias and Motorolas.
It's mad. Bring back my Sony Walkman phone. That was amazing. Bring back, I've probably said this before, bring back my Google G1 phone. That was the best phone.
You had a
ever.
Google phone?
Yeah, G1 it was called. I had topless Zac Efron as Muad.
Wait, was this the story you told of, like, one of your devices?
I dropped it in the bath.
Yeah, and then you had to bring it in to, like, tech support, and you were like, oh, they're going to out me because I've got a picture of Zac Efron as my screensaver.
Yeah, unfortunately, it was unsavable, but I don't know what's better, that or the time when I had to go to Mac with my Mac wallpaper, and it was like...
Still Zac Efron.
No, it was 90s Tory spelling.
Like, ooh, Edge.
not even hipster, just love 90210. Look, I'm not sure about the adjacent storyline, if I'm honest. Running around gritty London. And there's a scene where he tries to jump around a woman on crutches. It's like, just leave the woman alone.
One of the first things I know we're sort of out of a pandemic and lockdown mode is when people started overtaking me at a tube station, because I'm like, okay, Londoners are impatient again now.
Yeah.
Nature is healing.
I obviously want us to be in a safe world and I want us to be back to normal, but I did like the time when you'd cross the road if there was someone else, so there would be no interaction with anyone.
Well, now you can't even do that because everyone's fucking everywhere.
Too, like, many people.
They're all power walking and trying to overtake you, crutches or not.
Oh, gosh. And I'm not really sure what the storyline is. It's just them trying to get to each other.
Yeah, they're trying to get to each other, but, you know, this lovely Nokia phone that they're endorsing apparently can't get them to each other.
It's not got Google Maps yet.
It was pre-Google Maps was invented.
Exactly. So it actually debuted at 35 on the UK album charts, David. Now, look, not shock horror, guys. This is amazing. It's only going to get better from here. It's because a remix package was available for download. The next week, David, it was the first UK song to shoot to number one on downloads alone.
That is a moment in history.
Literally in the Guinness Book of World Records for that.
Absolutely incredible. First track by a British pop act to top the singles chart solely on downloads. Yeah. Also, that week that About You Now went number one, Shane Ward was releasing his single.
If That's Okay With You. Oh.
Yeah. No, You Hang Up / If That's Okay With You, the double A-side, which was the lead single of his new album. I think second album.
I remember it well.
Blocks from number one there. Shaney debuted at number two. Years later... He did a piano ballad cover of About You Now on his last album, Closer, which I worked on. I remember writing it in the press release. I'm like, I'm going to put Sugar Babes in bold, size 32 font.
you know, this used to be a real tough song for me, but I've reclaimed it as my own and I've got nothing but love for the girls.
So this was number one for four consecutive weeks here in the UK, certifying platinum with over 1 million units. This was the Sugar Babes' sixth UK number one single. And get this, it arrives 6 months after they just had a number one hit with Girls Aloud. So what an exciting year it is for both groups that we love. You know, Girls Aloud was starting off their new era as well with Sexy No 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 coming out just a month before About You Now. And, you know, looking back, yeah, these two albums that the girls would deliver are actually very defining in their careers. Tangled Up for Girls Aloud and Change for Sugar Babes. What a year. Like,
that's a rarity. You just go with it and then you look back and you go, wow, that Change was amazing.
They really did that. These girls and Girls Aloud, obviously. Absolutely. Included.
They did. They did what had to be done. So as you were saying, David, huge UK number one. Number two in Turkey, 15 in Spain, 2 in Slovakia, 1 in Scotland, 1 in Poland, 18 in New Zealand, 2 in Ireland. Come on, guys, what are you doing? 1 in Germany, 57 in Australia, David. What other songs are you putting in those Happy Meals?
I was very shocked by this chart position in Australia, and I've never been in the 50 episodes we've done on Right Back At You. I've never been more embarrassed.
I'm embarrassed for you, David.
I don't know if it's just my memory that's like just playing tricks on me, but I feel like this was even a moderate radio hit. Mm. If it wasn't, it should have been. This is very radio ready.
Yeah. Well, I hope it was a radio hit at Joy.
Oh, no, certainly on Joy. Yeah, I mean, like, that's a given. Like, you don't have to question that. But I mean, like, for mainstream.
What were Carl and Jackie O thinking, you know? Do you think it would have helped them then if they had sung it like this? Nor did I pass me by, nor did I pass me by, but I don't think about you.
To this day, About You Now is the Sugar Babes' most streamed song on Spotify. It's 92 million. Push the Button's not far behind, 91 million. About You Now was also nominated for a Brit Award in 2008 for Best British Single. It lost to Take That's Shine. But also, very interestingly, nominated in the same category was our girl Mutya with Real Girl.
I love that song. That should have won. David, let me tell you, when I was still a young aspiring performer, Shine by Take That used to be in my repertoire that I'd sing at auditions.
And now you're drinking Gary Barlow wine.
And now I'm with Gary again. Full circle.
Full circle.
It was actually a Mark-led song. That's why I liked it. But Gary was very good on the piano, I must say. And his wine's pretty good too. I'm over halfway through the bowl.
And we've only done like one single. God, we'll be on the floor by the time we get to Denial. Wow.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Well, shall we move on that note?
Yeah, yeah.
They follow up their biggest ever single with the next album, Change, in October 2007. Now, listeners, this was their first full album with Amel on every track here for the start of the era. And to me, she is the like shining star, unsung hero of this era. So I'm just going to say it now. Hats off to Amel.
I'm just so happy that we get a successful era with Amel, because it was so crucial, wasn't it? Because when Heidi joined the group, they had Round Round, Freak Like Me, you know, those success. And that really helped solidify the group, and they made the kind of narrative go, hey, it's okay. We had a lineup change. We move. Now, this is a very decent, very solid pop album. And I think production-wise, Jolie-Bee, I think is a really perfect transatlantic collaboration. You know, we've got the mainstream American top 40 elements there. Dr. Luke, Dallas Austin, who worked on Push the Button. And also we have the trusted British collaborators that have always worked with Sugar Babes. Xenomania, Johnny Rockstar, who worked with Sugar Babes since 3. It didn't feel like, oh, we're selling out and we're trying to make an album to please one particular market or trying to break America. It's kind of like we're giving you a version of ourselves that is going to work for you, but not completely pander.
What are your standout tracks on this album, David Lim?
You know, I've been waiting to talk about this for years. My favourite Sugar Babes album track, Never Gonna Dance Again.
Wow.
Favourite Sugar Babes album track of all time. know, this could have been a single, really, truly.
This could have been a single. It's the perfect somber pop song. We love like a hauntingly sad but beautiful pop song.
It's a crying on a disco moment.
If there's the king of crying on the disco, it's David Lim.
Not that I've cried publicly at the disco.
But it's just your brand musically.
You know, from the first second where you hear Amel go, circles on the floor, I'm getting down low. It's just like, oh, it sets you, you know where you are. It sets the scene, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think this would have been a perfect third or fourth single of the album.
You know what? It's a Xenomania produced track. And
Call the Shots.
Call the Shots came
out.
It's
a bit similar, innit?
Call the Shots was a huge success for Girls Aloud. So yeah, as much as I would have liked for this to be a chart frenemy for Sugar Babes and Girls Aloud, do we think that because Call the Shots was so successful that Island Records went, nah, we don't want to be compared to that, so we're not going to release this as a single?
Well, look, David, if there had been two singles on my TV show Chart Racers that I pitched to you in the last episode, we could have let the public decide. And David, do you know who also had something to say about this song?
Gosh, go on then.
Here he is. I know he's listening and waiting for it. Live, Laugh, Levine.
Calling it a desperately sad disco lament is just a mood. Yeah, couldn't agree more. And also Alexis Petridis at The Guardian compared the lyrical content to George Michael's Careless Whisper. That is really, really high compliment. So possibly a very, very big mistake to not release this as a single. And again, I do question the motives for it. I do have a theory that because Call the Shots was so successful, that blocked this. But yeah. You know what, Jolie B? There is a Mutia version of this because they actually, this song was originated when Mutia was still in a group. And it's been mentioned in interviews, I don't know, by Xenomania and or Sugar Babes, but there is a Mutia version there. And I find it very interesting that
it's never leaked. Has it leaked?
It's never leaked.
Oh my God.
As far as I know. Look, we're very lucky. This is track two on the album, and I think it's a very, very firm fan favourite. I'm sure the babedom would back us up on that.
Absolutely. And if you haven't, guys, like, do yourself a treat and listen to this song now. Look out the window. If it's not raining, imagine it's raining.
Oh my God, this song takes me all the way back to my final year at uni. You know, I was starting to do community radio at that time. Like, it just brings me back to that point in my 20s. That was just, I was a baby gay at that time. So yeah, lots of feelings and emotions.
Bless your ass.
Jolie B, what are your album highlights? Give us one.
We have to talk about it, David. My Love Is Pink. That was also a digital single. It was released on the same day as Change, but it's a real sort of funky up-tempo moment here from the girls. My love is pink. Everybody knows what you think. My love is pink. Everybody knows what you think.
As far as like razor sharp Xenomania produced club bangers, like this sits up there with some of their best girl group album tracks ever. You know, you've got Girl Overboard by Girls Aloud, Get Ready, Get Set by The Saturdays, and this. Like, if we had a club right back at you, which I'm not saying if, I say when, we're speaking it into existence.
Q1 next year, I'm thinking at the moment.
Oh my God. Just start practicing and getting these playlists ready.
I wasn't expecting that at all. But we'll talk about that in our next meeting. So this is another Xenomania. We've also got Heidi and Keisha on the writing credits here. Do you think this is another one left over from Taller in More Ways, potentially?
Yeah, potentially. Also, Joel, I mean, this song has one of my favourite ever misheard lyric. I don't know if you've heard it yourself.
All right.
In a chorus at the end, it goes, my love is like the colours of a girl, so butthole tight.
Excuse me?
It sounds like Keisha was saying butthole, but I think she's saying boy, hold tight. But
my love is pink. Yeah, it is. Bumholes, yeah. Obviously.
Sorry, Wendy, if you're listening. I always have to say sorry to your mum because my mum only listens occasionally, but I know Wendy's on it. She's across it.
Wendy's number one fan. She says, well done for the Alexandra Burke episode, by the way.
Oh, thanks, Wens. You and I like to listen to K-pop, but it's like sometimes...
Oh, yeah, just make up what the words
it
are.
It doesn't, like, lyrics
don't matter.
And actual meaning doesn't matter. It's the melody. It's the
music. It's the vocals. It's the production. So any other standouts for you on the album, Davo?
I think this album really was soundtracking my first relationship over a period of 2.5 years. I kept coming back to it.
Oh, that's long.
Not been that long since. So the track I want to shout out is Mended by Yo.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's a bit of a ballad. We don't normally get Heidi on verse one. It's very rare. But our girl Heidi gets in there. She's lamenting the death of a past relationship. And then as the song progresses in the pre-chorus and a chorus, you realize that it's actually a romantic song dedicated to the new love. So it's kind of like springtime, you know, death of a relationship, and then something new happens. Embarrassing story.
Please go for it.
You're like rubbing your palms. You're like, yeah.
Not me for once.
Yeah, literally, not me for once. But yeah, my first boyfriend, it must have been like our 1 year anniversary. I made him a scrapbook of photos of us from our trips and just, you know, around.
That's so sweet.
This was the days of like digital cameras. So I had to like actually go into like a Snappy Snaps or something in Melbourne, get them developed, cut them out, paste them in the scrapbook. And in there, I wrote song, like love song lyrics in glittery pen. And one of the pages was lyrics from Mended By You.
Bless your heart.
I know, but isn't it just so sweet? Look, I was 21 years old and I was writing lyrics in glittery pen. Like, but you know what? Us as queer people, like sometimes we go through our teenage and childhood kind of phases a little bit later in life, especially when we come out later.
Oh, of course, you know, and hopefully maybe it's different for younger generations now, or it will be in the next few generations. We don't get to have those very young, innocent experiences growing up.
And those trials and errors.
So yeah, they're very delayed for us when we're in our late teens and early 20s or later. You know, there's no right or wrong. There's no rhyme and reason to this.
There's no right or wrong.
Bless your heart. He was lucky to have it, you know.
And I think he still has it. So yeah.
Oh, there you go. Well, it'd be worth money now. A global top 50 Music Week focused, Music Week highlighted podcast.
Oh my God. Speaking of which, yeah, thank you again, Music Week thank and George you. Garner for featuring us.
I hope you gave Karen Paul, friend of the podcast, some money for writing that in your glitter pen book.
Oh yeah, because Karen co-wrote this with them, didn't she? And she wrote Caught in a Moment with Sugar Babes before.
And she just won a music award, a very prestigious one. I can't remember the title off the top of my head.
Music Week's Women in Music.
Women in Music, yeah. Congratulations, David Lim owes you a couple of quid for using some of your lyrics in glittery pen. If anyone out there knows Karen, get her on this pod. We'd love to chat to her. So are they standouts for me, Davo? Okay. It's a bit of a slow start as a song, but do bear with me because it really gets there. Back When.
Oh, really?
It's like a really slow start and you're like, okay. But it is, as it gets going, it's got really the feels of a classic Sugar Babes album track. And David, this is vocal produced by JC Shazay, the best singer of NSYNC.
Keisha, get on your YouTube series, and if she's taking questions, that is a question for Keisha. How did JC Shazay come to be part of Sugar Babes universe?
I wonder if he works with Dallas Austin a lot or did at this time.
Yeah, so he must have, yeah, to be in a studio doing that. And
I mean, icons only. I love JC Shazay. I had such a crush on him as a teenager. Still do have a soft spot.
I must also, we're going to end up shouting half the album now, but that's why
that's what we're here to do, darling.
Well, that's why we're doing two albums at a time, guys, because we want to really celebrate them. There's the bonus track on his Three Spoons of Sugar, which was in St. Trinian's soundtrack.
Yeah, I mean, they're hitting us with the soundtracks here. About You Now on the Wild Child soundtrack, Three Spoons of Sugar on the St. Trinian soundtrack.
Shout out to Back Down.
Yes.
The original UK baddie anthem. Sorry, Jesse Nelson.
Oh my gosh. It is so funky. I've got very funky, very of the time.
I like my man rough.
That one we can play really early on our club night as well.
My baby don't back down.
David, my final highlight of the album is Open the Door. To me, David, it is the very upbeat moment that we're here for with the Sugar Babes. Harmonies check, melodies check. It's pure Sugar Babes and it's all here. Baby, you ain't got the time. Tell me what's on your mind. Even when you're here and feeling so alone. You used to work me so hard. But now we in rooms apart. So tell me you can really see what's going on.
Like I said before, like I think this album really was kind of the soundtrack of my first relationship. So towards the tail end of it, I was listening to this song a lot. You know, we've gone from Glittery Pens and Mended By You to Open the Door, which is a beautiful pensive ballad about a relationship that's withered. And I just remember driving in my car and just singing this a lot to myself. But yeah, I've always loved this song. So yeah, it's another Keisha and Heidi with Kathy Dennis co-write moment. So yeah, shout out Open the Door.
Album charts, David. Gotta try harder next time, darling. 90 in Australia. We'd love a little bit more work from you there.
Do you know what's really bad about this? I actually think I bought my copy of Change in Malaysia.
Which is great too, you know.
You know, every little counts, as they say.
But I don't know, David.
You're so mad. You are seething.
I'm furious.
Fuming.
We really needed help down under. Like, we were really proud of the work we did down there. And then to find out some of our biggest fans didn't buy it in Australia really upsets me.
Sorry, Heidi.
No, but I'm just really happy to hear that he did buy it and he did enjoy the album, regardless of the location. You know, it's great.
Such an honour and everything, being your scrapbook. So, yeah, keep up the good work, love. Love you, babes. Thanks, Amel.
Thanks. So, number one in the UK, David Lim. And I'm sure you can still pick up a Poundland copy today if you want to.
Yeah, so this debuted at number one here. It's the Sugar Babes' second number one album after Taller in More Ways. Change actually spent 4 weeks in the top 10. And the Sugar Babes in this time became the first female UK act to top the singles, album, and downloads chart simultaneously for the second time. The first time they did it was actually with Taller in More Ways and Push the Buttons. So iconic.
They're like the J-Lo's of the UK. You know how J-Lo had number ones with The Wedding Planner in the box office and J-Lo.
And then the Perfume charts.
No.
No, the Perfume charts was the same time. It was like, I think it was... She released a Perfume the same week, I swear. It was right. Like movie, Perfume, single,
and album.
Whatever. But yeah, throw in that Boots Perfume chart as well.
Oh my God. And it was platinum in the United Kingdom and platinum in Ireland. 10 on the European albums charts, 33 in Germany, 10 in Ireland. Come on, guys.
Jolie B, we must talk about some prominent TV moments in this time. And there's one that I want you to really talk about. But the first one I want to bring up is the same month the album comes out, Sugar Babes closed the Fashion Rocks charity show. So they perform Lady Marmalade and brings out Patti LaBelle. You know, we've got like Heidi Range there. Please be upstanding for Miss Patti LaBelle. I was like, yes, queen, you better give her that intro. But like, this show was so iconic. Rasheen Murphy, Carrie Underwood, Alicia Keys, Mary J. Blige performed. It was at the Royal Albert Hall. It was
wow.
Whitney Houston gave a speech about the Prince's Trust, which I assume was the charity that this was benefiting. And then after her speech, she introduces the Sugar Babes. Can you imagine Whitney Houston saying, please welcome on stage the Sugar Babes?
I would have
that. I love you lots.
I would get a still of that and have it framed on my wall if I was a Sugar Babe.
When Patti came out, oh my God.
That's the way to do it. Let me give you the advice I gave Christina, I gave Maya, I gave Pink, I gave Lil' Kim. Let's sell it to the back row.
Hey! Oh my God, this is one of my favourite Sugar Babes duet performances of all time.
Phenomenal, but you know, they were the vocal girl band to do that. If it was going to be anyone, it would be the Sugar Babes, you know?
So the other TV moment that we want to mention is Big Brother.
Whitney Houston, Patti LaBelle, two. Well, you know, it's like you got that high esteem. Then let's get into the people's homes straight away, give them what they want. Big Brother Celebrity Hijack. Now, this must have been an offshoot series of Big Brother. We had loads of wild stuff because Big Brother was so popular. We had that. We had a series where it was Big Brother, but the cast were talented. So there was a Big Brother where they all had specific talents. We had another Big Brother where it was just teenagers. And I believe they were the first people on Big Brother to have SEX in the house. So we had lots of different... Well, my mother is listening, David Lim. I'm guessing Celebrity Hijack had lots of different celebs going in. You can find the Sugar Babes clip in full. And they're going into the house, seeing these civilian contestants. And it's just a real sweet moment in time. You know, they're in the diary room. We know these things work in TV, a lot waiting around. They're in the diary room about to go in. Keisha's like, I need the toilet. Never more relatable than ever. I'm like, yeah, we all need the toilet. Like, I would be too if I was just waiting around. As you know, David, I've worked on Big Brother and Celebrity Big Brother quite a few times.
So have I. But I think you and I have worked on Big Brother at tail ends of it. So you work at the beginning, I work at the end.
Yes, I only got to meet your colleague. Oh, it would have been so much fun if we were in the room as strangers, you know? But not strangers. Just like, we don't know each other.
Us with our professional hats on.
Zed profesh. And they're like, oh, really excited to go in. Because I got to go in the house once when the person I was chaperoning, the way they were going into the house was via the garden. And they
had to do the walkthrough with them.
They have to do their blindfold and ear muffs where they're going. So I had to take them into the garden. So I actually went into the Big Brother garden,
and
David.
Were you filmed for that bit?
No. Not going to get that release form from me. That's a different fee, darling. So, yeah, I mean, they're like, oh, we're excited to get in. And then it's so funny. They go into the house and it's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, it's the Sugar Babes. And are you joking? No, it's the Sugar Babes. Oh, my God. And then they do a performance of About You Now for them. And then
Keisha starts tidying up. But also, I think when you're, like, nervous in a new environment and you don't really have something to do, like, cleaning is a good task to busy yourself with.
It was also just nice to see the girls as personalities, you know, and interacting with each other, interacting with the housemates. Keisha knew one of the housemates or was a friend of a friend. He tried to make a joke of like, yeah, she tried to flirt with me. And it's like, this isn't how this is going.
You're not getting a headline out of my name.
No. You're like, I'm a sugar babe. You're a contestant on this show. Like, we're going to nip that in the bud.
This is a work gig. I'm here for work.
And I'm here to do a polite hello to you. Okay. I've just tidied your plates. And now you're going to try and do that number? No. Absolutely not. So let's move on to December 2007, David, where they release the title track of the album as the next single, Change.
Now, this one is a lovely, slow-burning, soft rock ballad for winter. It's not really top of the list for me, but I will say in recent years, listening back to this song, it's kind of resonated a little bit more. And we can't deny the fact that they call the album Change. It really is, in a way, a nod to Sugar Babes and the story. It's a metaphor for what the group is, right? Even though this song isn't about lineup changes, it's just about changes in life.
Absolutely.
People can see that. It's the first album with ML. It's called Change. It's a very classy way to give a nod to it and also say, hey, we're all experiencing change in life. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think this is a really lovely, lovely song. Keisha is is the star always, but also Amel is such an underrated member of the Sugar Babes. She is a star of this era, and she helped the band do what they needed to do.
And Keisha's vocals on this, oh, when it's soaring, oh, Keisha and Amel's vocals together, gorgeous. And obviously Heidi holds her own. It's just like a really good blend. And we must talk about the music video, because this is
dead arty.
This is like one of those like glamour magazine kind of beauty spreads where, you know, we're showing you the latest makeup trends and you can glue feathers and big lashes on this way. It is stunning. And I just realized today that it was directed by Fatima Robinson, who's really like quite an iconic choreographer for like Michael Jackson and Aaliyah. Wow. And all that. She kind of transitioned into directing, and I crossed paths with Fatima last year, actually.
Oh my God.
When we were doing the Whitney Houston hologram tour, because she was creative director for that. So I didn't know she directed this video, but like each of the girls are portraying a season. We've got Heidi as autumn, Keisha as spring, Amel as summer. And it's just beautiful, isn't it? It's just
simple but effective, stunning. This song contains a sample of Time Lapse, which is from the Apple iLife for Mac royalty free samples.
Is this the doom 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 doom, that really celestial sound on the song?
Yeah.
Oh my God, get that free royalty bit, girls. Like, yeah, why pay for it when you could just...
Why pay for a sample when you can get it for free?
Yeah, it's very me on GarageBand when I was producing my own songs. Yeah. So this was a number 13 charting hit in the UK. It's another top 20 hit for the girls, and maybe not a very prominent single, but you know what? Competitive time of the year.
Competitive time of the year. The album's already out. It's had a number one single and a number one album, 11 in Scotland. Come on, guys. Speaking of come on, guys, 21 in Ireland. What were you thinking? So, David, shall we enter the new year?
Yes, and let's not do it in denial. Me, you were never supposed to be part of what I would call amazing. Took so long to finally see. How can a flower denial this music video?
Let's get straight into the music video. Yeah, this is a dead arty music video.
Do you love it? Oh, I am obsessed.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, David, this is my first time ever seeing this music video in preparation for this episode.
No way.
He nearly spat out his drink, everyone listening at home.
There's so many dead arty moments here. Now, this is a stunning tribute to Vogue fashion editorials. That is the brief. You know, this music video was shot on a variety of film and stills. And we've got, you know, things like film grain, vignetting, very vintage, very old school. It's directed by Harvey B. Brown, who has worked with George Michael, and also director Emma Bunton's Maybe music video.
Wow.
Icons only. So high fashion, isn't
so
it?
So many looks, so many stunning looks. Heidi gets a wig again towards the end, doesn't she? Well, I really loved having the red wig earlier when we did the Easy music video for Overloaded, our greatest hits. Doing a bit of a tease, it's not Siobhan, it's Heidi with the red wig. So I thought I'd get another wig. I just thought to get it on. I love putting on a wig, getting dressed up as part of a glam girls night out, but high fashion, which is brilliant because we're doing a Vogue thing, you know, like the magazine Vogue. That's what we're doing here for denial. But, you know, it's coinciding with the tour. It's not about the pressure of the char position. It's just to give it a bit of something. Do you know what I mean?
I actually didn't realize we had an exclusive interview with Heidi for this episode. This is a surprise. So many creative looks here as well. You know, we've got Amel's gown made out of black garbage bags. And then we've got Heidi's gown made out of old newspapers. It's very like that episode of RuPaul's Drag Race where you have to make whatever's in the workroom. And is that kind of design challenge?
David Lim, listeners at home, we've literally just made, in a break that you won't hear in our recording, we've just made plans to go out tonight. We could recreate those looks tonight, David.
Oh, I've got garbage bags.
Okay, I'll take the newspapers. You take the garbage bags. I'll see you at 8:25.
Oh, dear. I mean, yeah, the outfit might be falling apart on the tube, but yeah, iconic nonetheless. Now, speaking of the tube, this is, I love this segue. I'm so proud of myself for it. But this song was written on the Vicky line, the Victoria line. So wow. VV Brown, an amazing amazing pop star songwriter. I was obsessed with her first album, Traveling Like the Light. So VV Brown wrote this song specifically for the Sugar Babes, and she said she wrote it on the Victoria line, aka the Alexandra Burke line, which is the music video Let It Go. She shot it on this tube line. So I was like, I'm renaming the Vicky line as the Alexandra Burke line.
This tube is crazy. Then we've also got Northern Line, the theme tune and song of the boy band Northern Line. I'm finding love on the Northern Line.
No, it wasn't stopping all stations on the top 40.
And speaking of Big Brother, David, Ziggy from this boy band was on the one of the most famous series of Big Brother, where him and Chantel had a romance. Do you remember Chantel, the Victoria Beckham lookalike?
Are you talking about Preston?
No, different Chantel. So there is no denying that this song did chart around the world. UK number 15 hit here. 8 on the Scottish album charts. Thank you. Poland number 3 on the Poland Airplay charts. 1 in the Czech Republic radio top 100. Let's have it, boys and girls and non-binary friends. Number 26 on the European Hot 100. A big European hit. And yeah, let's speak about March till May 2008, the Change Tour with the Sugar Babes. The tour started with 2 nights in Brentwood, David. That's just down the road from where the JB grew up. And I didn't actually go to this tour, David, let me tell you. Because when you're a teenager, and I was in a very low income household, I'd already seen the Sugar Babes a lot, and I had paid to go and see them, and then I had just been so lucky to see that free event.
This is the Sugar Babes' biggest tour yet. We've got 30 dates on the Change Tour. Gabriella Chilmi was a support act. Her debut album just came out in the month that the tour started. So shout out Gabby.
Legend.
She's a Melbourne girl, you know. So yeah, lots of love for Gabriella Chilmi. Today was the first time I actually looked up footage from the Change Tour, and I must say, wow, the costumes were really stylish. So this tour was directed by Harvey B. Brown, who did the Denial video. Very simple setup on stage, right? Simple visuals, but the costumes were banging, you know. For In the Middle, the girls came out with like mirror disco ball skirts. With Red Dress, they came out in like giant bouncy red gowns. It was just very well styled, I must say, even though it wasn't an arena tour, and maybe that was a deliberate choice to keep it more intimate.
The girls owned their tours, and it was very them to do these kind of, not arena, but still large venues. So, you know, Royal Albert Hall, what a place to see them. That's their thing. They did arenas for the Greatest Hits, you know, it's a Greatest Hits tour. But this is where they thrive, because you're in big venues, but it still has that intimate feel to it. And for a live vocal band like the Sugar Babes, that is absolutely where they come alive. So, David, although I didn't get to see the Change Tour in full, in August that year, I had the honour of getting to see them at V Festival, where they did a condensed version of this tour. Now, David, let me tell you, 17-year-old Joel absolutely hated it. Camping is not for the JB.
Wait, so you guys camped?
You have to camp when you do V Festival. I mean, you can do Tay tickets, but people camp. Like, and it was great to hang out and go with my older sisters and their friends. It was at that point where I'm like cool enough as a teenager to go, but I wasn't cool enough as a teenager to enjoy it. I mean, this is peak Joel with the bleach blonde hair. I did not enjoy camping at all. I look back now and I'm like, I like to be, but believe it or not, I like to be a minimal packer when I travel and do what. I took so many outfits with me. I took bags of clothes that never got worn. 17-year-old JB was an experience. It was a time. We grew through it, you know. It was what it was. But I hated all the music, and it just wasn't for me. I was like, this is too, like, cool, quote unquote. There's no pop music. But I thought about this earlier today, and I was so lucky. I managed to carve out some of the great pop stuff. And for this alone, it actually, looking back, is an amazing experience. So I got to see the Sugar Babes perform a big set. It's the first time I've ever seen the Sugar Babes with backing dancers. It was three girls and three backing dancers, so one to emulate each girl. They all had a dress with, like, each girl's face on. It was fantastic. And not only did I see the Sugar Babes, David, I was also very lucky enough to see Girls Aloud in this era, David.
Oh my God, Girls Aloud and Sugar Babes were playing V Festival.
V Festival that year.
Well, that's all you need. I mean, I don't care about any other acts.
Yeah, I know. I look back now and I'm like, why was I bothered that I didn't like the majority of the acts? That's two acts, something, the whole weekend worth it. That was my, in a nutshell, my 2008 V Festival experience.
I love that. And also, you know what? Mirroring this for the Sugar Babes Change Tour, this would actually be their last proper Sugar Babes tour until 2013, 5 years later, where the Origi Babes reunite, so Muchikisha Siobhan.
Can you believe it?
I know, I can't. Yeah, it just seems wild, but also, like, when you put it in a timeline, you see 2008, it's really startling to think that Keisha was only 23 and Heidi was 24, and they were already industry veterans.
I'm shaking my head with my hand in my head at the moment, guys. I can't. I've not thought about it in that way, and I can't believe it.
And in that year, I love this quote from Heidi. It was in a Guardian interview that they did. She said, "If we end up doing reunion tours with Girls Aloud when we're 50, celebrating the good old noughties, then I really wouldn't mind." Sweet.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah,
I
know. So yeah, and I've never thought about it in that way with their ages, because to us, where we were kids, we were teenagers, they always felt so much older to us, but that's so young. And it's like, you know, look, I've turned 30 this year and I'm still figuring shit out.
I'm still figuring shit out at 34, yeah.
We're still young, we're still going for it. So the amount of pressure and things that fell on their shoulders at that age, I don't know how they did it. I do not know how they did it. Let's continue with August that year. They release, or they're featured on, She's Like a Star.
The Tayo Cruz remix of this. Like a melody, you release me, just like the greatest song. You are my number one. It's the only one that I want by my side. It's the only one that I believe can save my life. He makes me wanna be a better guy. Tayo wrong us and he asked for us specifically if we would mind popping on as a feature, and we said, do you know what, as it's you, we can come down for an hour or two to the studio, because we are like a couple of stars, and it's the Sugar Babes, Tayo Cruz, and it does also feature Busta Rhymes, which is really lovely. He's lovely. You know, we've worked with Dallas Austin before, so, you know, in America, they do know us.
Do you know that Tayo Cruz is British?
I know, but Busta Rhymes is American.
No, I know, but Tayo Cruz is like, because all the comments are like, because he does this sort of American accent, which is, you know, look, we're all for taking on personas and all that. But some of the comments are like, isn't he British?
He definitely is British. You know what? This seemed like a good pairing at the time. And it was also a sign of the industry changing, wasn't it? Like, we're getting into a more collabs era. And Sugar Babes kind of needed to get on with it. And do you know what? To be fair, apart from Girls Aloud, when have we seen the Sugar Babes really do collabs?
Never, never. Apart from Richard X V
Sugar Yeah, but Babes. Even that wasn't, like, properly credited. But, you know, when Richard had his album out, it was Richard X V Sugar Babes, yeah.
So that was a lovely taste for the babedom and the Sugar Babes audience, or for me today, as I found out. But it was in September 2008, David, when the girls, I'd say come back, but they never left.
Wait
us.
A minute. Did they even?
When's their
when
break?
When's the break?
When's these girls break?
Because hold on, they were doing that 30-date tour, which ended in May, and then they were doing V Festival and I'm sure other festivals in that summer.
Booked and busy. But, you know, when the opportunities come in, we don't like to say no.
I love being in Sugar Babes, you know. One of my favourite parts is just to sing live, you know what I mean? The festival, yeah. Rage Against the Machine, yeah. Sorry, my Amel impression is so ropey. Sorry, Amel.
It's not, darling. It's fantastic.
I'm trying to channel her kind of, like, spirit.
Love. Love and excitement. That's what it is, you know. Purity. Because she's got this beautiful husky voice, both vocally and speaking.
Oh, my God. Amel's speaking voice. I'm obsessed.
It's incredible.
I love it.
So we're continuing with Girls in September 2008, David.
So they wrote this sixth album in between all that. In a matter of weeks, they recorded that sixth album, Catfights and Spotlights. And we're about to get the first single now.
They are here, they're launching a new era and a new album. I know some people say, you know, a new album isn't necessarily a new era, but I'm going to say it's a new era anyway.
Oh, it's always a new era.
And David, we've not got only a new song. We also have a Boots Christmas, I think, campaign. And this time of year, just Here Comes the Girls, they're flogging beauty products. Wouldn't fly these days because you have men, women and non-binary friends that all enjoy beauty products, thank you. But in 2008...
Okay, hang on. The Boots thing is actually the number one thing on my mind, weirdly enough. So for our international listeners, Boots is a chemist store. So, you know, they sell beauty products. They sell like cough syrup.
Your toiletries, all your that, all your this and all your that.
This song was built around a 70s funk and soul song, Here Come the Girls, and Keisha's the only Sugar Babe member with a writing credit on it.
I think it's got such a funky beat to it.
It's sort of giving you the essence of a Hun's Night Out, but very daytime commercial.
Loose women Hun's Night Out.
Actually, it appeals to all ages, you know, loose women down to like young girls. Yeah. This era of the Sugar Babes, we're going to see them enter a more vintage 60s, 70s soul funk era. You know, this record comes out sometime between Amy Winehouse and Mark Ronson's Back to Black era. We're yet to get the Pixie Lott era. So, you know, and the Sugar Babes are sort of tapping into it, but without being too obvious.
Look, David, can I be completely honest with you and the listeners? I'm going to be real. This single did not connect with me as much as the previous work. I think it's good. I like it. I'm not desperate to see Mucci, Keisha, Siobhan whip it out or any lineup of the girls whip it out.
Yeah.
I think the Boots campaign was a hindrance to it ultimately. Hopefully Keisha got a nice paycheck from it. You kind of just feel straight away it's an advert song.
Yeah.
It just feels like it never had its moment the way the other songs do.
No, for sure. And also the music video, like, not to put a downer on this, but, you know, we're talking about some iconic lead singles from the Sugar Babes. This kind of feels a little bit like, why are we doing it in a parking lot? Like, it doesn't seem budget. It doesn't seem like, you know, it for me. So...
If you go on the official Sugar Babes YouTube account, there's a pre-Watershed and post-Watershed.
What does that mean?
I think it's like 7 or 8 o'clock is pre-Watershed and then Watershed is after. So things can be a bit more racy.
Oh, right.
If something happened on a soap pre-Watershed, you might have Tesco mums writing in outrage. But there was nothing particularly racy or anything in the Watershed version. So I'm not really sure what the reasoning was behind the two versions.
Damn. I mean, maybe we had some gays kissing. Who knows?
There wasn't. I don't think that. I would have known if there was.
We wanted to have a couple of strippers in there, you know? Like, I just want to have a real party, innit?
Well, do you know what? Like, the LGBT community's been so friendly to us, and especially to me since I joined. So, like, we just wanted to really put something in there for our fans. But no, there isn't any
same-sex kissing, no.
Inclusivity, yeah. As far as I'm aware. So this still did do wonders and numbers. It was a top three hit here on the UK singles charts, number one on the UK R&B charts, top seven hit in Turkey, not number one like Victoria Beckham, but a top seven hit nonetheless, five in Scotland, 12 in Ireland, 10 on the European Hot 100, very respectable, and a silver single here in the UK.
Yes, and also number one on the Boots chart.
Number one. Still probably playing in your Boots store near you, maybe even a Superdrug if you are lucky. So, David, shall we move along to October 2008, where we get the new album Catfights and Spotlights. Now, I appreciate this is a very tongue-in-cheek album title, but I don't feel like any of the work in the album
really
backs that title up.
Backs up the title. Yeah, actually, this is the first time I'm realizing this. This is definitely one of their more overlooked albums, but also one of their more cohesive albums. You know, we're getting elements of classic 60s, 70s, funk and soul sounds. You know, maybe it's a little bit more mid-tempo than the average Sugar Babes album. But, you know, if you're a pop artist and you're lucky to have a long career, I think at some point you're going to have one of these albums that's like your artistic career.
Oh yeah, of course you
yeah
are.
One of your artistic credibility albums. You know, Kelly Clarkson had it with like
My December.
This is the Sugar Babes My December. Really, they want to be taken seriously. They don't want to be some sort of, they want people to know that they write their own songs, even though they did all throughout the hits. Somehow it wasn't resonating, so they felt like they need to do something serious here.
Yeah, and I think maybe putting the title Catfights and Spotlights isn't the way to do that, because it doesn't tally up with the rest of the album.
Well, you know, one of the things I want to point out is that even though this feels like a very artistically significant album and it's a statement for Sugar Babes, there's only one song on this album where three members have written together on it. It's mostly written by Keisha and other writers and producers. Amel has one track with other writers, but we don't see a Heidi co-write on this. The album was mostly done with Swedish producer Klas Allen, who did the majority of this album, but also is known for working with Robin on her self-titled album.
So do you have any standouts on this album, Davo?
A real highlight for me is Side Chick, which you referenced at the start of the episode.
Oh yes, I had to, for my number one demon, Twink Darlene. If you want a side chick, on the side chick, it's not you and I, boy, you better get your head checked. But if your mind's right, then we just might spend some time and we call it what we want. If you want a side chick, on the side chick, it's not you and I, boy, you better get your head checked. But if your mind's right, then we just might spend some time and we call it what we want. We could just be.
It's kind of like, you're not going to make me a priority, you're going to make me plan B, then we could just be friends. And you know how that ends. You know, we're not going to have sexy times anymore. And that's that. So
that's that, darling. Fuck off.
Balls in your court, you know. And also, oh my God, this song is just fire. Like, I just love Side Chick so much. Amel's verse, we need to like pay tribute to the flow, because the flow was just right, you know. Let me tell you about a boy who's going la la, trying to get my ya ya, but he's not committed, so I'ma tell you, baby, bye bye. Treat me like a yo yo, papa, that's a no no. If we're not official, it's so much better off solo. I'm just like a Mel.
Queen.
Serve. So, Jollibee, what album highlights are there for you?
So, I want to kick off with You on a Good Day.
Oh, yes.
Is the 60s Motown version of Bootylicious with those intros, you know?
Are you ready, Heidi?
We love a spoken word intro.
We do. Keisha. And then she asks herself, because it's Amel clearly talking. Amel? Oh, yeah. Answer your own question. I love it.
Me doing the intros to this episode. You're messed up like when I went to Tokyo for promotion and got back. I had a bill for 2 G's. From when you fell asleep, calling me overseas, asking about my goal for the cash machine. And you just said, yeah. But you try to keep the house neat, but then your new party friends went and called for some stripper again. I just said, baby, at you on a good day. Really sets up what you're expecting for this album, you know?
No, this was really lots of fun. It's like a modern day Ronettes vibes.
I think this is the moment on the album that sounds both meets the criteria of the album, but is also very of the time and also sounds like a classic Sugar Babes album track.
I like it. And also similarly, while we're talking about You on a Good Day, Hanging on a Star has a kind of similar fun, girly vibe. It's done with the Invisible Men, who worked with Gabriella Chilmi. And yeah, you know what? This is lots of fun. And for an album that's mostly mid-tempos, we cling on to these fun moments, don't we?
Also, I want to say, before I give you a chance to say anything, David, Sunday Rain.
Oh, you're into that.
This, I mean, to me, this sounds like something that could be very David Lim. We've got 60s dramatic Sunday Rain. I mean, it's got you written all over it, darling. You need to think about it.
Oh, wow. This is you A&Ring my album. DL3.
Look, David, we need to rush out a Mother's Day release. We've done really well with Crying on the Discotheque, and I want to do a part two in time for Mother's Day, and I think Sunday Rain is what we need.
Sunday Rain is the Mother's Day version of Crying at the Disco. It's Crying at Tesco.
Crying at Tesco. They've run out of the Tesco Finest Chicken. You're going to have to get value today, darling, and your kids are going to have to suck it up. You give all your heart and get nothing to show.
Would have been nice is an orchestral tour with the Sugar Babes at this point.
We weren't ready for it. We were not ready for it. Now we'd be ready for it.
Yeah. This was the album to do an orchestral tour or maybe like a residency, you know, Sugar Babes.
At the Royal Albert Hall.
Royal Albert Hall residency with an orchestra. And they can do songs from this album, but also like interpret some of their classics in a new way.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shirley Bassey.
But you know what I mean? This album is so trying to lean into like a more mature space, yeah. More radio too. Like, give us that orchestral live experience. And maybe to launch the album, they should have done a show like that, that just sets the tone and really says, there's a new era and we're going in a more mature direction. Whereas I feel like Girls was a bit misleading.
Yeah. I think Sound of Goodbye is brilliant. But they really missed a trick on putting that as the track before the last song. So we go from Sound of Goodbye to Can We Call a Truce? And that's just giving me mixed messages.
Also, Jolie B, I must say there's a dead musical theatre-y song on here that I feel like is very your vibe. Every Heart Broken, which was actually originally called Murder One, which I think was too graphic for the Sugar Babes, so they changed it. Yeah, so this is a very dark song where each of the members of the Sugar Babes are like listing off boys that they were with and they're killing off their exes along the way, so it's very dramatic. Last boy was the director on a silver screen. He went and wrote a slasher flick just for me. When he said cut, I took a literally.
Heidi Range is coming for Kimberly Walsh's musical theatre career in this song, which she did do. You know, she toured with Happy Days the musical, and that is fantastic. But this song, it does have its musical theatre moments, darling, but it also has an amazing chorus.
I mean, I'm just fixated on the verses. Boy three worked at the cemetery. His crooked smile was kind of sweet. All things must end. Now he's 6 feet deep.
Oh my God.
Fucking hell.
Slapped On at the End is an acoustic version of About You Now. And do you feel that's needed, David? Or is that them trying to say, look, we did have this huge hit on the last album?
I think it shows the label's lack of confidence in this project, where they feel like, okay, we're going to need to give you a piano ballad version of About You Now just to get you guys on board.
Yeah. And I think that's also furthermore to your point. If they had decided then to do a, more of an orchestral tour or moment, it would have felt so much more natural to have the orchestral quote-unquote version of the hit single from the last album on here, because it rounds it out. But it just wasn't as thought through as that, was it?
No, there was no time. This is literally in the same year as them wrapping up the last album era. So
yeah, this album, David, was released exactly a year after the last album.
That's not enough time. That's not enough time to reset, you know. And also, like, that was such a big hit album. And for you to, like, really pivot and try to introduce, basically rebrand the Sugar Babes and level up and do something more mature, you need yeah. more time to establish that narrative.
I think it's a nice album, but I don't think it has that. It's trying to hold 2 feet, one in current times of 2008 and one in a concept album, and doesn't commit to either. And I think that's a real shame, because I think the girls deserve more. It's still a great album, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's of the priority level that the Sugar Babes deserve.
I think the setup and the narrative and the way we presented it could have been more different, you know. Even down to the photo shoots, I mean, lovely blouses, nice blouse. But like that, just because you're going a more mature album doesn't mean that you just pick blues and grays and blacks. Like, I think there needs to be more thought out to establish that. But look, we're being overly critical, but only because
we love them and adore them.
We respect the work and the artistry that's gone into this album. We just wish it had a better setup. And I'm sure some of the girls will feel the same way as well. So shall we talk chart positions?
UK, it was a number 8 album. Very respectable, especially when you look back at our other acts we've covered and other albums we adore. We would kill for some of those to be a number 8 album. In Ireland, number 18, come on, guys. On the European Top 100 albums, 34. And in Croatia, it was number 31 on the Croatian album charts. So, David Lim, while they might not have nailed it quite for this album, I do think they have got together this concept and look with the right level of commitment by the time we get to the next single, and especially the next music video, No Can Do, in December 2008.
Oh my God, this music video. Look, let's just get to it, because this is the kind of music video I want to make. Not only is it brilliant, glossy, and just very stylish, we've got the Sugar Babes looking like classic Hollywood screen sirens here, but also, is this the best use of muscular men in a pop video since Kylie Slow?
So look, we've said RTF quite a few times with music videos, but this is the one to me where I think they really nailed that fine line between...
It's innovative, isn't it?
Yes, exactly that. And also arty, also very high fashion.
Yeah, so we've got men as props in this music video. You know, we've got these topless men in like underwear. They're all forming shapes of bed, furniture, cars, motorcycle. It's actually really genius.
It's clever. Oh very my God, clever.
The first time I saw this video, I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, this video concept would have been better for girls, because, you know, it's more of a feminist theme. Men are products. They're the furniture.
And I 100% appreciate that girls seem like the more mainstream option, but maybe this would have been a more bold way to kick off this album campaign. With the Sugar Babes, at that point in their career, you don't need to do what you think is going to be the most commercial. Look, Girls Aloud had just done Sexy No 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 the year before. That's a girl band taking a risk. You don't need to play it safe now. The Sugar Babes, you don't need to play it safe. And No Can Do would not have been a risk, to be honest, but it would have been a bolder choice than Girls.
So, you know what? We've spent all this time talking about this single, mostly on the video, because, yeah, it is absolutely stunning. But chart position-wise, you know, we're seeing this peaked at number 23 in the UK, sold 12,000 copies. This was the Sugar Babes' lowest charting single since 2006 Follow Me Home. It's their third lowest charting single overall.
It was released on the 19th of December, David. This was released as the thoughts of what is going to be a contender for Christmas number one.
What I really enjoy was like one of the promos they did was on This Morning in December, where they performed this song, but also they were trying out the cooking and stuff like that, as you do on morning TV. You know, they were having Brussels sprouts and things like that. But I just love the chemistry between these girls. I feel like, you know how we get to the end of the year, we're like, oh my God, I can't wait for a Christmas break. And that was kind of the energy that they were giving. Like, they've performed so much this year.
Last few years.
I bet they were looking forward to a Christmas break. But the camaraderie between Keisha, Heidi, Amel on that This Morning appearance was just lovely. And I think they've never looked tighter than they did then. And you know what I was saying with the that Channel 5 performance that you were at, I was looking for that kind of camaraderie and that kind of banter. I saw that when they were performing this song at this time. You know, they were cozying up to each other, singing together. Don't try to even call me on the telephone. It do anything. Like, they just looked like they were really tight at this point. And I just watched that performance and went, aw.
Don't try to call me on the telephone on my Christmas break, David Lynn.
My out of office is on.
So what a journey it has been, and there's no one else I'd rather have spent it with. Obviously, if any of the actual girls wanted to do this journey, I wouldn't have minded, but it is amazing to have spent it to you and to celebrate this time that I don't think about too much in my 20s and 30s, but it was so nice to take some time and go back to where we were and where this music was and is. It is one of the greatest girl bands, not just the UK, but the world has ever seen. And you know what, David? I can't wait to get sexy with you next time.
I would just say, Jolie B, you don't know about a girl.
Da, 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 da. All I'm going to say, David, is thank you for the heartbreak.
Oh, it feels like we're raring to go to record the next episode, but we're not. We actually need to get ready to go out.
We need to get ready for that. I will wait for you to get ready, and I will wait for you to record in a future date. But listen, guys, this has been a wonderful Sugar Dose journey, and I hope you've enjoyed it too. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us on all social platforms at Right Back Pod. If you love what we're doing, hit subscribe, give us a 5-star review, follow us at Right Back Pod, send us an email, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B, and you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time. Bye, bye, bye. Bye.